Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have on the program this morning the man we'd like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. He's an emeritus professor of art and design at University of Illinois and on this program for a long time, has been stopping by once a month, usually on the first Wednesday, to talk about cooking and food. And we always have a great time when he's here. This time around, we just are doing the show one day early so we can celebrate Mardi Gras, and we'll be talking a bit about the cooking of New Orleans, and maybe people will have stories to share with us or recipes, and that would be great. We'd be very happy to hear from you. Another way that we would be happy to hear from you is if you will give us a call and make a pledge to WILL. We are working to raise in one day, essentially 1 month's worth of funding for the station. We're looking to raise $80,000. We started this morning. We're going to end at 7 o'clock tonight. So this is a one-day fund drive. And we didn't just pick that number out of nowhere. That is roughly equal to the amount of cut in our state funding that we're anticipating for this year. It also happens to be, roughly speaking, the cost of 1 month's worth of programs on WILL. You know that line about how we've always depended on the kindness of strangers? Well, we have always depended on the generosity of our listeners. So you can help us. You can work together with us, and we believe that we can do this, raise $80,000 in one day. But you got to help. So if you haven't made a contribution, this would be the time to do it. You can give us a call, 244-9455, or if you'd like to do it online, you can do it that way too. Go to our pledge page. That's Will Pledge, all as one word, WILLPLEDGE, willpledge.org, and we thank you very much. If you'd like to call in here on the program, same number as always, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We'd be happy to hear from folks if you'd like to call in and talk with our guest, Doyle Moore. The title, folks, is purely honorary. I just like to mention that, just in case there's any confusion. We named him the chef in residence. Nothing really much comes with that. We give him a coffee when he shows up, but we're always really happy to see him. And I'm really glad that you could be here. This is, we're doing it, well, it's almost the time that we would usually do. It would be tomorrow.
Another 24 hours.
The thing I think is interesting, noteworthy, I guess, about New Orleans cooking is that when we get to the point where here in the United States, people really started to get interested in regional styles of cooking. I mean, that's not to say that every, you know, different parts of the country had signature dishes and stuff that they were known for. But I think New Orleans cooking was really the first big regional American style of cooking that really caught on big and people got excited about who lived various other places around the country.
Well, yes. And what you might think about, too, is that I'll bet you that most people know the names of more important restaurants in New Orleans than they do any place else. And so you always went there. Oh, well, you have to go to, you know, each of these places. And then you would, did you go to Antoine's? You know, all, things like that. And yes, and the people there, I mean, I have visited people who live in Baton Rouge and such. They are fans of going to New Orleans to eat at fine rent. And so I think really and truly the name chefs, you know, you heard about them long before you really heard about anybody else, even in New York City. You couldn't name places, maybe three or four, and they would be connected mostly with hotels. But in New Orleans, there were the places where you went to eat.
Yeah, people probably know who Paul Prudhomme was before they, you know, long before there were other celebrity chefs.
Well,
we now have a lot of them now.
Look at Emeril. Emeril started in fact, if I'm not mistaken, they changed his name. It was the lady at Commander's Palace. He wanted to work at Commander's Palace, which is very, very famous.
Yeah.
And his name was Lagasse. And she says, that'll just not work. That will not work. You have to be Lagasse. So his name was changed to Lagasse, and he became famous and still gives a lot of attention to New Orleans cooking. I think probably, well, I really believe that's where you got your first information about going out to eat at wonderful places, other than having to stay at a major hotel and do things like the Ritz and Carlton and places like that. But so it's very rich in cooking and manners.
And I think the other thing that's really interesting about it is now it's something called fusion cooking has become very popular.
Oh, yes.
When you take elements of different cuisines and put them together. And this is, New Orleans cooking really is American fusion cooking. Right from the very start,
yes.
You have European influences and African influences and Native American influences and probably also, well, maybe you say Afro-Caribbean
influences. And that's very strong.
Yeah.
That's very strong.
All of that going in to make a pretty unique kind of approach to.
And don't forget Evangeline and her gang coming down from Nova Scotia.
Yeah, from Acadie.
Yes.
What would you say would be the thing that sets this food apart? Is there anything particular you think that really sets it apart or that it's a signature element?
Probably. See, we have to kind of go back and look at the mixtures. The mixtures are there, and they are in two different sets. And it's very difficult nowadays to really discern Creole cooking from Cajun cooking because they too have fused a lot together. But originally, the cooking was Spanish and French inspired. Classic Spanish, classic French inspired. Mm-hmm. And so you had various dishes that would go to make a big meal. The Cajuns, the Arcadians came down, becoming Cajuns, and they did not live in the metropolitan area where all of the money was, and they lived in the surrounds and were influenced by Black culture and by Indian culture, Choctaw Indian culture. And in fact, sassafras is that you make file and add to your gumbo to thicken it up is an Indian product. Mm. And so then probably the most basic way to tell the difference between the cooking styles is that Cajun cooking is one pot cooking. So it's a little more rural, and we're going to make a very elaborate one pot dish, and then you eat it along with a few other things, but not another primary food. Mm. So jambalaya. I don't really know what you eat with. You don't eat something with jambalaya unless maybe it's cornbread. You know, accessories like that, but you wouldn't have then a meat dish and then an elaborate vegetable dish and an elaborate in the French and Spanish style. But things are one pot meals and they cook for a long time and they cook not in elaborate ovens but really on the back of the stove, mm-hmm. And that was a very rural experience. But in answer to your question, I think probably the one thing that you think of most is gumbo. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, gumbo is an African import because gumbo means okra. So okra was brought to this country by the blacks. And then anything with okra in it is a gumbo. So then you put other foods with it and mix to that. I think that was one of the first things that anyone knew about Southern cooking, whether it was restaurant fare or, I mean, you would go to a fancy place to even get good gumbo. And then, of course, then you can break it on down to muffalata, you know, and po' boys and beignets and things like that. Those are little side dishes that just add flavor to everything.
Well, you got to have breakfast and lunch.
You've got to have breakfast and lunch, exactly. Yeah, you can't just eat supper all the time. Oh, so I my guess would be that gumbo would be the major dish.
Well, if somebody would like to call in and maybe share a recipe or some kind of story, you know, maybe you've had a great meal in New Orleans and you want to talk about that. It could be something myself, I would just be up for, you know, trying to collect a good recipe for red beans and rice. Something as humble as that. I've never quite, you know, I've looked at a number of recipes and tried to make it a few times, and somehow it just ain't doing it for me. So if somebody has a good recipe for that.
Well, yeah. Red beans and rice is a mystery.
Let me give you a little
clue. This is just a clue. Red beans and rice is eaten on Monday.
Well, I know it's...
And what do we do on Monday? What did we do on Monday?
Laundry. It's wash day.
It's wash day.
So it's the deal that you put it together, always you had, put it on the pot and...
We never had red beans and rice, but we always had beans on Monday. And Mother would always burn them. And so I was 12 years old before I found out that isn't what you're supposed to taste with beans. I loved it, though, because it was sort of rare. That funny scorch. But beans are cooked on Monday, and red beans and rice are cooked on Monday.
Yeah.
I know you can cook it any other time, but it came from a tradition of cooking on Monday.
And is that just partly because it's something that you just put together and you just put it on?
And then you let it go
and do whatever you got to do, and it just does
exactly,
its thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's more refinement to how you combine it. I'll look up one of the recipes. I brought a gob of recipes here. I know there's a good red beans and rice. I'll find you one before the day's over.
And if folks who are listening, you want to call in 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. This is our regular monthly show on cooking that we usually do on Wednesday, and tomorrow, in fact, would be the day, the first Wednesday of the month. We asked Doyle to come in one day early because we're spending some time here trying to celebrate Mardi Gras a little bit. It's Fat Tuesday, and also encourage people to call in and make contributions to the station. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that we are here doing a one-day fun drive. Over the last couple of years, we have really made an effort to spend less time on the air raising money. And it's actually been very successful. We want to say to people who have called in with our contributions, thanks very much. It's great. But the only way that this continues to work, of course, is that if you folks who value the programs will support it. So if you haven't yet, that's something that you could do. And if you could do it sometime during the day today, before 7 o'clock tonight, because that's when we're going to be finished. And then we'll be going into election coverage, because this is also a major primary day here in Illinois and across the country. So you can give us a call, 217-244-9455, and make a pledge. Or if you want to call in to the show here, same number as always, 333-9455. We do have that toll-free line, and that is 800-222-9455. Is there a particular recipe that you would maybe like to?
Probably mention? I'll get around to one of my favorites, which is jambalaya, which, remember, was on the crock pot. And jambalaya, I learned to make it in New Orleans and all. Well, red beans and rice.
Okay, tell me about red beans.
Okay, traditionally eaten on Mondays, made with Sunday's leftover ham. That would be another reason why it was done. Now there's a lot of fuss. Do you put salt in the water or not? The answer is don't put salt in the water to begin to cook the beans. Another technique is that you bring the beans to a boil for 10 minutes, and then you close the lid on it and leave it for an hour. That seems to be the most recent good way of cooking beans. But if you leave them sitting overnight, you have to change that water off. I mean, there's something about that toxicity that in certain beans that is a real puzzle. Mm-hmm. Although I've never seen any results of that, and it's really quite simple. It's kidney beans, butter, and chopped scallions and chopped onions and celery, of course, and fine chopped garlic, and then a ham bone, and then some pepperoni or smoked sausage, and salt and bay leaf and red pepper and additional cumin if you want it. Optional cumin. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy the taste of cumin with some of these dishes.
Yeah.
And so it is made fairly simple. by boiling the water, letting them soak, boiling the water for 2 minutes, turn it off and let it soak for an hour, and then cook the scallions and the onions and celery and garlic in butter in casserole, and then stir in the beans and the liquid, and then the ham bone and the hocks, and see, then you bring it all to boil and reduce it a little bit, and then cover it for 3 hours. I mean, cover it and cook it then for 3 hours. And then if the beans seem dry, here's the next thing. You don't add cold water. You should add boiling water. And you should add only a few tablespoons at a time. There's something about maintaining that liquid boiling. You don't just dump in water. Because if you dump in cold water and the temperature drops real fast, mm-hmm. then the beans get tough in their skins. It's a very careful. That's why it's really a traditionally hard thing to do. But if you're going to wash and you put them on, you got it. You can see it 3 hours later, and it'll be all right.
All right.
So that's the real. You have to treat it carefully, but don't just ignore it. But there are little funny things that you have to do to it. Adding the water is the biggest argument that I know of, and everyone's screaming about, oh, no, it has to be boiling water. No, you can just dump water in. If you do, the beans will split, or they will get tough, or something else. And don't put salt in, because salt will make the beans are made up of an interior and a skin, and you've got to cook them in a way that they will perform without bursting and all of that. And these are the secrets that are kind of snuck around.
See, these are the kinds of mysteries that we like to explore.
It is a mystery, yes.
Jack Brighton is stepping into the studio with me. He is the producer emeritus of Focus 580.
That's
was
right.
Our producer for a long time. Now is the guy who oversees our web operations. And occasionally here, when we have to sit down in front of the microphones and ask for support for the station, well, he comes by and does that, too.
I like sitting down in front of the microphones. I kind of miss that, actually.
Hey, I can – anytime you want to come do, you know, Focus 580, I can arrange it for you.
Let me check my schedule. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, we're here quickly, actually. There is no tomorrow during a one-day fund drive, and that's what we're doing right now. Today is really all about supporting the programs you depend on and the importance of WILL radio in your day. Instead of tote bags, T-shirts, or CDs, your contributions are helping to bring more of what you tune in for, great public radio. That can only happen if you help. Call 217-244-9455 right now or go online to willpledge.org.
This morning, I was happened to be in the coffee shop where I stop and get my shot of rocket fuel this morning on the way, and I bumped into somebody that I did not know at all, who knew who I was, and he just took a minute or two and said, you know, I really like Focus 580. I like the range of topics that you do. And that was just really nice. You know, obviously, you know, sometimes there are things that people don't like, but it's always nice every once in a while to hear somebody say, you know, you did good. That's a good show.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that it's here in Champaign-Urbana. What we're trying to do is to be to contribute to the community and to the atmosphere of the community. And someone says that, well, then I know that maybe we're doing the right thing. What people can do for us, too, is, you know, as a way of showing support and showing that they do appreciate what we do, is to be a supporter of the station, because then you're not only helping Focus 580, but everything else that we do.
Absolutely. 244-9455 to make your pledge call right now. And David, what you said, we're here to contribute to the community. We're not here to sell advertisements. We're not here to sell products. We're not here to get a big audience so we can sell the audience to the advertisers. We're here to do great programming. And that's what public radio is all about. And that means that the public needs to support it as well. I think we've said that many times. Hopefully you'll get the message and pick up your phone right now. Call 217-244-9455 or go online at willpledge.org. This one-day drive depends on you responding.
All right. Thanks very much. Thanks to everybody who has made a contribution. If you haven't done that, hope you'll take the opportunity to do it. We'll be here just today at 7 o'clock. We will finish, and then we'll go into election coverage. So we'd like to get as close as we can to that goal. We said we'd see if we can raise $80,000 in just one day. That's what it takes to run the place for a month. We want to see, can we do that in one day? We think we can. but that relies on you to respond. Here this morning in this hour of Focus, it's our monthly cooking program, something we've done for a long time on the first Wednesday of the month. And that would be tomorrow, and that's one day too late to celebrate Mardi Gras.
Well, so, get in here early.
That's right. So we said to Doyle, well, can you come over one day early? He said, sure. So this is our program, and we thought it would be interesting, as it was Mardi Gras, to talk a little bit about the cooking of New Orleans. So maybe you have a recipe to share, you have a story to tell, whatever. 333-9455 and toll-free 800-222-9455. We were talking earlier about the fact that it's New Orleans is, say, home to some of some people would say it's one of the great food cities of America and is home to some really great restaurants, very famous ones. And it's one of those things where when people go to New Orleans, one of the reasons they go is
breakfast at Brennan's.
Is to go to places like that. Yeah.
Breakfast at Brennan's was the first place that I ever – well, there were 10 of us. I mean, this is a long time ago. There were 10 of us, and the bill was over $100.
I'm shocked. For 10 people, $100.
And we had breakfast there, and we had a big breakfast, anything and everything that you wanted. But I remember just being stunned that the bill came, and it was $100. I'm talking about 19.
What year was that?
I'm talking about 1962 or 3. And that was a lot, but I then stopped and realized, well, there were 10 of us having breakfast and drinking and carrying on and having a very good breakfast. And that's where I learned all of the variations of Eggs Benedict.
Ah.
I think I had that day, I think I had Eggs Sardou, which you only find in New Orleans cookbooks, Eggs Sardou and Neapolitan eggs with spinach, mm-hmm. and all the very different things. That's just I'm remembering that. And what was that drink made with milk and bourbon?
milk and bourbon?
Milk and bourbon. That's what you were supposed to have for breakfast. Well, it was pretty good. Somebody help me. I'm losing my words. Somebody help me with whatever that marvelous drink is. It's made with milk and bourbon you drink in New Orleans for breakfast.
All right. Champagne and orange juice, okay, I can see that. Milk and bourbon, I don't know.
Oh, my. No, it's very tasty. Mm. Somebody will call in and help us.
I don't drink milk.
Oh, well, that might be.
I'll just have some bourbon.
That might
be.
You can
put some
that.
In my coffee. How about that?
Well, there is a truth to that. I have a recipe here for a sausage jambalaya, which is the one that I learned in New Orleans. I was visiting New Orleans, and there were several friends, and I got up in the morning, and they had all left and gone out to Cajun country and left me in New Orleans. And I didn't know what I was going to do. So I looked up and found the cooking school and checked in and went to the cooking school all day while they were off running around doing Cajun stuff. So I had a little bit of experience. So I thought maybe I could tell you that, because this one I like, and this one works real easy, and I can cook it in any kind of an amount you want. I made it for when I had a lot of family come one day, 14 of them, and so I made this in a great big huge black kettle. It was wonderful. You use a half pound of hot sausage. If you use the right one, it's a chorizo or like chorizo. Mm. But we have a hot Italian sausage that works quite well. And then a half pound of andouille, which is another smoked sausage that's unique. But Polish sausages work quite well for that, and they're available to us. One large onion chopped, one bell pepper chopped up, and four stalks of celery. That's the trinity that New Orleans cooking uses, that they sort of got from the French, which is the mirepoix, which is carrots and celery
and onion.
And onions. And this is onions, green pepper, and celery. And then, of course, garlic. Put garlic in if you want it or not. And a can of tomatoes. I would use diced tomatoes now instead of mashing up the whole ones as we had done before. Then 2 cups of rice, and you want a long grain rice for that, and 3 cups of chicken stock, and 2 cups of smoked ham. It doesn't have to be smoked ham, but if you had such a thing, it would be good. But regular diced ham, country ham would really be wonderful. But it does. Country ham is tough and doesn't cook up as readily as a regular ham does. And then 4 green onions and 1/4 cup of parsley and Tabasco. Now, you can see that's a pretty simple list of stuff, and it's very, very easy to do. You sauté the meats for several minutes, and then you put in the onions and then the bell pepper and the celery. And so you're layering it and cooking it all up at once. And so you have all the vegetables and the meats that you've cooked and browned. Then you add the rice, and, of course, there will be oil coming from the meat, and that wants to coat the rice. That's a very important step, is that the rice is coated with oil, and then it cooks in a different way. And also, it will start heating, and it will turn translucent. It goes clunk, you know, and it's translucent instantly, and with the oil around it, and that cooks into a very desirable taste. Mm-hmm. And then bring it to boil and let it simmer for about 30 minutes until the rice is done. It doesn't take very long. We cooked it in the classroom, so it doesn't take more than about 45 minutes to an hour to cook. It's not something that takes all day. So mainly it's a stew that is made by cooking quickly, and then you cook it until the rice is done. When the rice is done, then the meal is finished, and just serve it with French bread and a green salad. It's a very, very simple recipe, and you think that it's just going to take a long time, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, easy recipe.
Well, it sounds good. I like the idea of also having looking for new things to do with shrimp, and which is I think at our house occasionally, particularly in the summertime, we do it cold boiled.
Oh, yeah.
which is good. And then I've come across a couple of one of the cooking magazines had a couple of really nice recipes for shrimp where you do a very fast sear. Like about a minute on each side.
Oh, yes. Well, that
and then do a sauce and then put your shrimp back in just enough to get it cooked and then get that to the table. But I'm really interested in trying to do some more with the
Now, there can be a shrimp jambalaya, and it would be made very much in that same way because it doesn't want to stay in there the full 30 minutes. You'd put the shrimp in at the end. And you could either put it in uncooked and then let it steam, or if you'd like to have that glaze on it that you get the caramelization from frying, you could change that. That would be pretty good, pretty tasty. If I'd have known that, I'd have brought my Creole soup, which is my favorite thing with shrimp. Ooh, guess what it is? It's chopped onion, bell pepper, and celery and a lot of chicken broth. Or you could substitute some as Julia, who argued with Jacques Pepin, he said, "Oh, use clam juice." Oh, I would never think of doing that. I make the stock with the fish. Well, that's good.
Well, okay, clam juice, fine. If you got that much time, yeah, okay.
And and tomatoes is tomatoes and all those vegetables and plenty of onions and as much garlic as you want, and then you bring it up with liquid being water and some juice, and you boil that for enough minutes till it's cooked and it smells good. It makes an aroma, and then you drop the shrimp in, and they only cook something like 3 minutes. You might like that particular approach, and it is a very, very fine recipe. I like it.
That sounds good. Well, if there are some folks listening you'd like to call in and make some contribution here, suggest a recipe, or maybe you just have a story to tell, something to share with us, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You just come right here to this program. No one would expect you to pledge. That would be nice if you did, but that's not required to call in. Our guy who's at the controls here this morning, Jason Croft, he came up with a recipe for bourbon milk punch, and he gives it the thumbs up. Have you actually made it? No, okay. So he must have come across it on the web. He just nailed that into his browser on his side and came up with this. So if you'd like to try it, what you need is 2 ounces of good quality bourbon, and the recipe suggests Maker's Mark, but you know, you
sure.
use whatever kind you like. So 2 ounces of bourbon, 1/2 ounce vanilla extract,
yes,
1/2 ounce simple syrup, 1 ounce heavy cream, 2 ounces whole milk, and 1/4 of 1 egg white. So what you do is you add the contents to a cocktail shaker with plenty of ice. You shake it until it's good and frothy. Serve in a frosted old-fashioned glass. The kids today, they don't know what that means. And garnish it with some freshly grated nutmeg. And that comes from the web page, neworleanscuisine.blogspot.com. But I'm sure that'd be kind of thing where you could just put that into a browser and you'd probably come up with some recipes. So if you're interested in that, bourbon milk punch, you could try it out. Or like I'd say, I'll just give me a good cup of a good French roast coffee and just put a little bourbon in there for me. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I don't need the milk.
Well, that sounds like exactly the way it was done. More complex. I wouldn't have thought about the egg white, but more complex than I would have thought of. But pretty tasty.
All right. I just want to mention here, we're coming to about our last 20 minutes of the show, and I want to remind people who are listening this morning that we're also, in addition to just trying to have a good time here when Doyle is here, as we always do, we're raising money for the station. We're doing a one-day fun drive. That's all. We're just going to be here for one day. We started this morning on Morning Edition. We'll run through the day at 7 o'clock. We are finished, and then we'll begin our election coverage on both WILL AM and WILL FM, so either station you want to listen to. You'll get the same coverage from National Public Radio and from our public radio people here at WILL and in the state of Illinois, looking at today's primary results. But between now and then, we are aiming to raise $80,000 just in this one day, and we picked that because that's roughly what it takes to run the station for a month. So we're trying to raise a month's worth of expenses in one day. And we're doing very well right now. The last total I have here looks like it's a little over $23,000. Mm. And we've heard from 165 people. And that's great, including, I'd like to say thanks to Shirley Gawkin, who lives in Milford, who pledged on the web. And so you have that way to do it. You can do it by giving us a call at 244-9455. And the area code is 217, and talk with one of our volunteers and do it that way. If you would like to pledge online, that's great too. You can do it that way at willpledge.org, whichever way you do it. And as much, you know, you can decide what kind of contribution you'd like to make. If you listen to WILL a lot, maybe you would think, well, I could maybe go a dollar a week. How about that? $52. There are some people who might even say, you know, I think I could probably do a dollar a day. Well, that would be great too. Anything in between, whatever you want to pledge, okay, that's up to you. The important thing is that you are a supporter of the station and you help us meet the big challenge here of trying to raise $80,000 in one day, but also keeping the station strong over the long term, and help us to continue to provide the service we do to the community, to you and to your family and to your neighbors. And every single dollar that comes in here, believe me, every dollar makes a big difference. So here again is the number. It's 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org. We hope that you will do that today. The guy here is with me is the man we call our chef in residence. Come here wearing enough beads. I don't know how he manages to stand up straight. He's got so many beads on. And this is, I'm not joking about that, folks. No, it's really is true.
Here they are.
There's the sound of the beads. He came appropriately attired for Mardi Gras, and we're doing him on the show here one day early. Tomorrow would be the usual day. But we thought we could celebrate Mardi Gras, talk a little bit about the cooking of New Orleans. And have a good time, and we always do have a good time when he is here. The number, if you'd like to call in to the show, this is not to make a pledge, but just to call in to the show, is, what is that number? 333-9455. See, I got so many numbers here, I can't keep track of them. And toll-free 800-222-9455. Do all the, you know, we talked about that, in French cooking, you start, in many cases, you start, the most basic thing you do, you start out with this mixture of carrot, onion, and celery.
Yes.
And that in New Orleans cooking, they have what they call the Trinity.
The Trinity.
Which is celery, onion, and green pepper.
Green
bell
pepper.
Bell pepper. That's green their essential.
Bell Mangos, honey.
Bell Mangos. Bell Mango. I knew her. She had a place down on, never mind.
No, right on the front street.
Yeah. Bell Mango. She was quite the gal. Do a lot of the dishes start with that? Is that you're going to do a gumbo or something like that?
Yes.
That's going to be one of the first things that you're
exactly.
going to do?
Exactly, because you're going to then melt them down just a little bit. Yeah, most of the dishes have that. Well, I've got another one for you. This is the other one that I learned right after making the jambalaya.
Okay.
Same class time, and it's a shrimp remoulade. You might like that because even though it is cold shrimp again, it's awfully good. Mm-hmm. Because this is the remoulade which just isn't like any other sauce that you can make. It starts with, if you could, of course, get Creole mustard, and that is available. But a good spicy brown French mustard will work just as well, because that's what Creole mustard is the French mustard with the chopped mustard seeds in it. So there's a little grain to it. So a quarter of a cup of mustard and 2 tablespoons of paprika. And I would use the now we can get the smoked paprika from Spain.
Ooh, that's a wonderful thing.
I like that a lot. 2 tablespoons of paprika, Creole mustard, a teaspoon of ground hot red pepper, the ground pepper. And of course, I want it from Chimayo. And 4 teaspoons of salt and a half a cup of tarragon vinegar. And tarragon vinegar would be very important to this. It's not just any vinegar, but one that has the taste of the tarragon. And 1 3/4 cups of olive oil, and you can use half olive oil and vegetable oil, because too much olive oil gets a little bit, I don't know, I find sometimes it's hard on the throat. I found a good olive oil, though it isn't, so talk about that later. Mm-hmm. And 1 1/2 cups of coarse chopped scallions, the little baby green onions, and then a half a cup of finely chopped celery and a half a cup of coarsely chopped fresh parsley. And we mixed all that together, but we also put it into the blender and zipped it just a little bit so that it ground up everything even more. Mm-hmm. And it was the remoulade was a lot finer. It has a nice red color to it. And it's the mustard and the oil that coagulate. That's not the word I want.
Emulsify.
Thank you. So that's why it's mustard and the oil, so that when you mix it up in the blender, it will emulsify and become thicker even. Mm-hmm. And then you chop. What to do with that iceberg lettuce that you've had around the house? Chop it up real fine, so it's real fine shreds, mm-hmm. and then put the shrimp on top of a chilled shrimp, and then put this remoulade. Gosh, is it good?
Oh, it sounds good.
Because it isn't just another sauce. It's a unique sauce that seems to do something really positive and great to the shrimp. Like that a whole lot.
Very good. Okay. We have about 10 minutes left. If someone wants to get in here on the show, 333-9455. The man we have here with us is the guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore, stops by the first Wednesday of the month, and we're here just one day early to celebrate Mardi Gras. I'll talk a little bit about New Orleans-style cooking, and questions, comments, recipes are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I just want to come back, and I want to endorse smoked paprika. This
oh,
is
yes.
a fabulous thing, and this is something that I guess for a while I had heard about, but Mrs. Inge one day brought some home, and it's I think you may have to seek it out at one of the more specialty markets. I'm not sure that you could just walk into the grocery store and buy it. I think that what she bought came from World Harvest, I think.
I know that they would have it, yeah.
But it is really good.
It's
Spanish. Introduces a wonderful flavor, and now I do things like I put it in my chili and lots of other kinds of things where I would use paprika, maybe not all the smoked paprika, but use some regular and then put in some of this. And the flavor is just wonderful. The thing that it ends up reminding me of, because it has that smoky paprika, kind of vaguely chili thing in there. It sort of reminds me of chipotle.
Yes.
Chilies.
Well, that's funny because I think that they both chipotles did sneak into this into our cuisine a little bit earlier, but the pepper from Spain, it hasn't been here maybe 3 years, about 3 years. I first bought it in Colorado, and that was 3 years ago, and I was very excited to get it because I knew that it existed, and somebody, and it was people who had gone to Spain all the time. Oh, they would bring it home, and they'd bring, oh, you must have this, you must have this, and all of a sudden, I got a can of it, and it was just wonderful, and then. Some of my friends in California, I know they called one day and said, guess what I got? What did you get? Oh, I got some smoked paprika. Oh, I said, I've had that for 2 years. You would.
It is just a wonderful thing.
So it is indeed.
If you've never tried that, I would just suggest you go out and get yourself a can of smoked paprika. Because
yeah, it isn't grossly expensive, and it's in small quantities if you want to just try it. But it gets more complex than just dried peppers. It's a little more complex. Yep, I agree to that.
Okay. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. If you want to call in, talk with us, chat, say hello, share a recipe, whatever, what have you. You can do that here. And as I said, we've got, well, now maybe about 7 or 8 minutes in this part of Focus 5A. Was there something else? So here we're sitting there talking to each other, which is okay. Was there something else that you were kind of thinking about maybe sharing? I think when you came in, you said actually you had been looking for recipes that actually made some kind of reference to Mardi Gras. Oh, and that they're really what you found one.
I found one recipe that does make a reference to Mardi Gras, and it's called Mardi Gras salad. And then I found it in another book, and it is nothing more than here is something very. Nope, this is festive rice salad. The Mardi Gras, oh, here we are. Mardi Gras salad. Wash one head of lettuce well and dry it and tear it into pieces. Then slice one yellow bell pepper, and then wash a head of purple cabbage and slice it into long, thin pieces, and mix a Creole mustard dressing mustard by using Creole mustard, red wine, sherry vinegar, one small onion, and salt and pepper, and pour oil in it, and arrange the salad on the bottom of the bowl and the purple cabbage and the yellow pepper strips scattered over the top. So you've got red and green and yellow. And then pour the dressing over it, and it's a salad.
So it's just the idea is that it's got a lot of color in it.
Well, see, Mardi Gras is three colors. Gold and green and purple. And I'm not certain if that, and that confuses me because those are also the colors of the king's cake for Epiphany. The king's cake is three colors.
Right. Oh, uh-huh.
And so they make these cakes for Mardi Gras, and they make them also for the King's Day. But it's just because you can get some colors into it.
Oh, okay. We do have, we have somebody to talk with here in Indiana, someone near Brazil, Indiana, on a cell phone. So we want to get right there on our line 4. Hello.
Hi. Maybe everybody's like I am. I was afraid to call because I didn't want to stop listening to y'all talking about all this wonderful.
We can't be that entertaining.
It is. It's fascinating. But I thought maybe he could talk a little bit more about the different varieties of Egg Benedict, like Egg Sardo and some of those that he...
Eggs Hussar, yes. Eggs Hussar and Egg Sardo. And, yes, we can talk about that.
Okay,
and
thank you.
And Eggs Nouvelle Noir. Okay, Egg Sardo.
And I will hang up and listen.
All right, well, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. The basis of this is a English muffin that you may have grilled or toasted, and on top of that goes a poached egg, and then sometimes underneath it would be the bacon or the Canadian bacon you're supposed to have for eggs Benedict. But egg sardo uses cream spinach, and it's pretty simple. It's cream spinach is a chopped frozen spinach, butter, a chopped onion, and some flour. You're going to make a white sauce, and 2 cups of milk, and 3 egg yolks, and 1 cup of cream, and 1/4 cup of Parmesan cheese. So it's a very cheesy, creamy cream spinach, and that is the sauce that goes. That's the sauce. Now, where does it go in this one? Okay. Then you have 2 artichoke bottoms instead of the muffin. And fill that with cream spinach and put the poached egg on top of it, and then put hollandaise on top of that. Mm-hmm. So it's a layering of things. That's egg sardo. The eggs hussar is a little more complex. It is mushrooms and green onions and minced onions and butter and ham and again some flour and stock and wine. So you're making a nice sauce with mushrooms, onions, and ham, and of course some cayenne pepper, and then Canadian bacon, and you put that over the muffin, and then put in this Marchand de Vin sauce, which is what we just made with mushrooms and onions, and then spoon the hollandaise. Hollandaise is always there, and then this Marchand de Vin is spread over the bun, and then the egg on top of that, and the hollandaise on top of that, and paprika and parsley. Then there's one. What? Let's see. Sardou. There is a Eggs Nouvelle Orléans, which is poached eggs and crab meat with brandied cream sauce. Well, you can see again, you make a sauce. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see, what is it that they're doing here that's very special? It's going to be a crab meat sauce, and they're going to be in ramekins. And then you cover, so the crab meat, this crab meat sauce, which is made of onions and flour and milk and brandy and lemon juice and cayenne, is put into a ramekin. So that's the basis of it. And the poached egg goes on top. And then you make brandied cream sauce, of course, and sprinkle some paprika on top of that. That's a rather new one. But all of these chances to make eggs. Then what is the other one? The one that has spinach only in it is I want to say Neapolitan. What is that? What is it when you use spinach in something? What's the French? I was thinking it was Neapolitan.
Well, I think that's what you said.
I think I said that earlier, didn't I?
You said that earlier, yeah.
And then shrimp and mushrooms on deviled eggs. That would be a pretty good taste for you. So, yeah, eggs hussar, which is complex, and the sardou, which is very simple and pretty tasty. Artichokes and cream spinach and hollandaise sauce. And those are the only ones that are in this particular book. Mm. But there we are. Got some. And that is a good dish to make, what's that other dish with eggs that you put sauce over it and you bake them? That's pretty tasty too. It wants a little cognac in it though.
I see a common theme.
I'm afraid you. Well, but that's New Orleans cooking as well. They were the ones that were putting, I mean, you cannot just get a bread pudding. You get a bread pudding with whiskey sauce and things like that. So, yes, they're pretty keen in doing some nice liquored up sauces.
All right. Well, the clock on the wall says, is it Florentine? Is that what it is?
Florentine, thank you.
Someone called in with that, I think.
Florentine, so Florentine not Neapolitan.
With Florence. Spinach, Florentine. All right. Florence, we've got to go. A Mango Bell is waiting outside for us.
Calling.
Mango Bell is calling. We have to finish up for this time around, but next month, and it's almost going to be March already next month.
It is.
Doe will be back, and we'll do it on the regular, at our regular day, which would be the first Wednesday in March, whatever that is. And maybe I'll just, for those of our, for our fans, both of them out there, all those people who enjoyed the Crockpot Show, mark your calendar for September 4th. We're going to do another TV show, you and me, and a bunch of other people too. And it's going to be, the theme is going to be picnics, potlucks, and tailgates.
Wow.
So September 4th.
Well, I got to get my meat pie recipes out.
All right.
I don't have to get them out. I know them by heart.
All right.
Oh, great. I didn't. Thank you. Thank you for telling me.
I was just told myself just the other day.
Thank you for telling me. So I'll
write that down on your calendar.
I don't have to. It's etched in my mind now.
Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence once a month, first Wednesday. He's here. We always have a great time when he's here. And go to our website. You can find recipes from past shows. Go to will.illinois.edu. Go to Focus 580 and go to links. And there are a number of recipes there from our past shows. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
For being here.